Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks to Fitness, episode number 72. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, in this episode, I will be joined once again by the lovely and talented Bree Byford, former star of Bravo TV's Blood, Sweat, and Heels. During the interview, Bree will bring us up to date on her life after leaving the TV show, balancing motherhood, philanthropy, real estate, her new business ventures, and the changes she made to improve her health. Now remember the words of Bruce Lee, who said, "If you always put limits on everything you do, physical or anything else, it will spread into your work and into your life. There are no limits. There are only plateaus. And you must not stay there. You must go beyond them." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks to Fitness. Bree Byford is a personable, on-air talent, offering leadership skills and an impressive background in television and radio broadcast. Through her ease of delivery and in-depth reporting on topics ranging from local news, health, and wellness to real estate and fashion, Bree Byford is known to captivate her audience. She is a true talent with a loyal and continuously growing fan base, with a second home in front of the camera. Bree Byford is a real estate developer, philanthropist, and former cast member of Bravo TV's hit reality show, Blood, Sweat, and Heels. I am pleased to welcome Bree Byford back to our 6 Weeks of Fitness program. Bree, how are you?
I am wonderful. After an introduction like that, my gosh, I think my day just improved.
Well, very much deserved, because you are all that and more.
Aw, thank you. That's very sweet. It's wonderful to be back.
Well, I'm glad to have you back, and I'm sure my listeners will be glad to hear more from you, you know?
Yeah, I'm happy to catch everyone up and chat, and, you know, if anyone has questions, reach out and pitch their questions to me. I'm always happy to answer anytime someone wants to know something, so.
Okay, great. Now, the first time you were on my show, which is like over a year ago, mm-hmm. You were expecting your first child, a baby girl.
Yes.
How is she doing?
Oh my gosh, she's my favorite part of every day, my favorite part of every morning, every second, every moment of my life. She's wonderful. Her name is Aria. She is
Aria. Nice.
Yes, and she is now 13 months old. It's been some time.
Wow.
It flew. It really, really did. I swear, I can't believe how old she is already. But yeah, she's lovely. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's kind. She's funny. She's sweet. She's just she's my little angel. She's wonderful. Everything about her is just lovable and perfect.
So she's like a little Bree.
Right.
So, but how does it feel to be a new mother?
You know, it's so funny, because I was just having that conversation of at what point do I stop saying new mom, because she is a year old, but I still, everything is still so new to me, because all of her, you know, little new baby-isms, I'll call them, yes. Or Aria-isms, they're new. So I'm still new to this. So being a new mom has been amazing. Being a mom is just, it's the most rewarding and, you know, just amazing role, title, blessing that has been bestowed upon me. And I am so thankful for her. But it's just so funny to keep saying that she's, you know, I'm a new mom. I feel like she'll be 13 and I'm still going to be saying I'm a new mom, because I'd never had a 13-year-old before either. So.
Yes, definitely. But now, because you're so busy, though, how do you balance work with being a mother?
You know, it's actually, sometimes it's challenging. I like to tell people nothing is impossible. So if I, and I never, it's funny, I was going to say I never say never. But I don't like to say never about anything, because, you know, you just never know, and you always make things happen, and there's always a way. So for me, it's, you know, I go out of my way to make sure that I can at least get home to her during my lunch break at, you know, during the middle of the day. So that way I can, you know, spend some quality time with her. And that's always important to me. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And, you know, there are days that I am at work much later than I intended to be. And, you know, meetings call or, you know, evenings get away from me sometimes with work. So it is difficult. But I'm so thankful that my parents are so close, you know, in proximity to my office where their apartment is located. So I just, I rely so heavily on them. And I'm so grateful that they're here to assist me with all that I need with my daughter.
Okay, very good, very good. Now, are you still involved with philanthropy?
I am. However, I will say this. I've been thinking more and more about just, you know, I'm still very dedicated to all of the organizations that I've been previously involved with. But, you know, being a new mom, there's so many new focuses and things that I hadn't thought about before. Education has always been important, but it's never been as important a focus to me as it's become having a daughter. And realizing all of the struggles of, you know, of childhood and how unfortunate it is that some children don't have, you know, the ability to, you know, to enjoy school and all that school has to offer and the camaraderie of classmates and, you know, whether it be, you know, because school is too expensive or, and I'm not just talking about in the United States, I'm talking about global. This is a worldwide issue. When I used to work for UNICEF, I worked for the U.S. Fund for UNICEF. And, you know, there's education for all. It's so important. And there are children who do not go to school because their families can't afford something as simple as a uniform. So you cannot be educated if you cannot afford a uniform. So things like that just really strike a chord with me now, knowing that my daughter, she's so smart. She's brilliant. She's a little baby girl. And just there's so much opportunity and so many, you know, beautiful things that can come her way. But education has to be the foundation. And so I would like to make sure for all kids that, you know, there is that ability. So that's a big focus of mine now is just education for all. And of course, you know, female, you know, mom issues and just being a real, you know, empowering force for women and for their children, for babies.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And the reason I asked about that, because I know your schedule is so busy now, and sometimes being busy, certain interests may fall by the wayside because you don't have as much time as you used to have, you know?
It's true. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, I can say this, and as you know, because even with your, you know, your fundraiser recently, it's time escapes me. And next thing I know, I've missed it. So for me, I will always make sure I at least send a check. So I'm supporting, even if I physically cannot be there, I am there. I'm there in, you know, in thought and, you know, in the shared mission to help succeed through these, you know, to help these missions and these organizations and, you know, everyone succeed. So I for you, I'm sending a check, as I mentioned, for other organizations I've been previously involved in, which I've not been able to attend some of their functions. I'm sending checks. And that's my way of staying involved for the, you know, interim, just for the right now portion. But I'm a presence in philanthropy, you know, and tend to maintain that presence.
Oh, that's great. I know we also spoke about your family's real estate business, and I know that you're very much involved with that. How's that going?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. Extremely busy. Oh, my goodness. We've been so, so busy. We have a number of really wonderful properties. We have a large scale property that we've been working on in Baltimore for quite some time. It's, you know, making its way now and it's becoming a real time consuming project for me. In addition to the one that we have on Long Island in Hempstead, which I personally manage that property. For me, I spend a lot of time between Manhattan and Long Island for both work and my home life. I split between the two because, you know, I'm out there so often, you know, for work and, you know, we have a home out there too. So it's just work is very, very, very active. This is an extremely active time for us right now. And it's wonderful. I love it. And it's exciting. It's exciting to say the least.
Wow. That's amazing. So you definitely have a full plate. Okay?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That barely scrapes the surface.
really. But now it's been about 2 years, I think, since you appeared on Bravo TV's Blood, Sweat, and Heels,
correct? That's correct, yes.
Do you miss being on the show?
I miss being on TV. I miss being in front of the camera. That is my second home, and that is where my college education, that was my focus. I was always involved in broadcast journalism. I'm not so familiar with life without cameras in some form or another, whether they be still cameras or, you know, the work that I do in philanthropy and attending, you know, functions and galas, or if it's, you know, being on TV because of interviews or doing Bravo's Blood, Sweat, and Heels or whatever, you know, the case may be, co-hosting for, you know, on VR Living Live or being a panelist on the Real show with Gretchen Carlson, whatever, you know, the show or the program may be. I do miss my constant presence there. But the show, I don't necessarily miss the show. What I do miss, like I said, I do miss the in front of the camera action. I miss having more of a day-to-day, I guess, interaction with some of the girls. You know, I don't miss the drama. What I do love is that there is no drama now. I didn't have drama before. I don't have drama after. I had drama during. So I don't miss that. But I miss the you know, the crew. I love the crew. I'm in touch with the crew. I absolutely love them all. They're wonderful people, as amazing as that is. And, you know, some of the cast members I, you know, maintain my deep friendships with, which is great. Life is good. Life is really good. But, you know, a comeback is imminent. Not to the show, but to TV.
Okay, but you do stay in touch with some of the crew.
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. You know, things that, you know, what people need to understand, and not that they need to understand, but people should understand, you know, the show was filmed over several months. So the 9 episodes that were aired are only snippets of what actually transpired. So there was a lot that was, you know, a lot of issues that were quelled and calmed down, and, you know, a lot of, you know, bandages placed on wounds that were, you know, during the moment where, you know, were open wounds and open sores. But, you know, we've all come to a place where I think, or at least myself personally, I'll speak for me, I can speak kindly of all of the ladies that I was on the program with. I'm not a negative person. I don't carry negative energy. So if any of them had anything negative to say about me, then so be it. But I'm a big girl. I'm a grown up. I have a child. I don't carry the negativity. So I have nothing to say about any of them. And, you know, to the people that don't understand reality TV, I'll make it very clear so that they don't go and judge other people the way some of them have judged me. Reality TV is very simply made for TV, for entertainment purposes, and a lot of editing is involved. So it's, you know, people are portrayed as a character, and so you don't, you know, they should never say they hate the person. They can hate the character that the person was, you know, created to portray, but they should never say that they hate the person, because they actually don't know the person. And if they took some time, they actually really learn to like most of the people they see on TV. We can all hate the characters, but we don't have to hate the people.
Well, I guess some people don't, they can't separate the character from the person.
Which is proof of a very successful show, because that just means that they really got that deeply involved that they took personally. It's like, hey, let me put it very simply. I'm a huge New York Jets fan. Sometimes I hate the New England Patriots fans, but I don't really hate them. I don't even know them. It's just that I'm a Jets fan. So it's the same thing with, you know, the reality shows. You can say, you know, you love this character, so therefore you hate that character. You don't really hate them. You just, you know, you're following a storyline. I'm following sports. I mean, if I met any of those people, I'd probably be my best friends. It's just all part of the game. You just say the things you say to be a fan, and that's the end of it. It's not heartfelt. It shouldn't be heartfelt.
It shouldn't be, but for some people it is, right?
And that's the unfortunate part. So that's what I hope that I've just clarified for people, is that it's not worth it to be that person. Because honestly, none of the people that you love on shows or in the sports world, none of them hate the nemesis of their character the way you do. And honestly, none of us would hate your nemesis the way you do. So don't defend for us what we wouldn't defend for you. Because I wouldn't turn to someone who loves my character, loves me as a person, and doesn't like, you know, the person that's next to them on the subway. I'm not going to hate the person next to them on the subway just because they do. So they shouldn't it's you know, it's cyclical. You just have to, you know, go with the flow, just go with the process. Everything will work itself out.
Wow, that's good advice. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Old words of Johnny Cochran, can't we all just get along?
Yes, exactly.
Right? One of my favorite quotes.
So, because you have so much experience, you know, and well, actually, your degree is in journalism, mm-hmm. and you have experience in front of the camera. Now, I know you have some projects coming up, though, and want to share, give us an idea of what you have coming up,
Bree? I do, and Vincent, you'll be very happy to hear this. I'm going to be joining your kind of level, your field of expertise. I have a podcast that I'm working on. I don't have the launch date yet, but it's a very exciting project. That will probably be one of the earlier projects to be released.
Yes.
That will, you know, everyone can follow on Twitter. I'll definitely announce that first on Twitter, when it's launching. The other project, I have several. I'll just touch upon a couple of them because others are a little bit of, you know, down the line. I don't want to speak of them too soon, but I'll give you the exciting ones. I'm also working on a children's book series with a wonderful writing partner, a very talented writing partner of mine.
Really?
Yes. She is lovely. She is a school teacher, and she and I are just writing, and we have written so far, I believe we've written 7 books of the series so far.
Wow.
So what we are, we're at the point now where we're going to, you know, do our rewrites for, you know, a couple of little changes that we've thought to make along the way. And then we're going to be pitching to our literary agents and see who can, you know, who gets the book out first and, you know, let's make it happen. But that's a plan and it's really exciting. Those are probably the two that I'll touch upon. I have a couple of others. I'm trying to figure out my timeline of when they'll be released, and my management team hasn't quite gotten back to me on the time frame and the order in which all will be released. But there are a few. But those are my two. Those are the two that I can definitively speak of.
Okay.
Of course, the children's book, that will take a little bit of time, just because, you know, I don't know how that world works. The podcast where we've already we started recording, and we'll be launching hopefully sometime in April, maybe. Hopefully, I don't know. Maybe, possibly. I think it'll be the first one, April or May. I think we should be launching. Yeah.
Wow. You know, I'm going to listen to the podcast. Right?
I hope so. I hope everyone will. It's going to be really inspiring and just uplifting. It will be really nice. It'll be fun. And, you know, we're just trying to work out the specifics and figure out how we can do some, you know, live recordings as well, so we can get some real audience participation. And
nice.
It'll be nice. It's meant to be a really uplifting and positive, you know, just little bit of conversation. And I hope everyone will tune in. We're still working on the name, unfortunately. That's been our difficult struggle, the actual name.
Okay, really? But, you know, I will definitely be promoting that. I like that.
I would so appreciate that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Oh, podcasts are so popular today, you know?
Yeah.
Really?
I think they're so great. I don't know if you could hear my daughter. I walked into the other room so you could hear her, but...
I think this is going to be great. And you're looking to launch as early as April, though.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So April is our early part of launch. So it will hopefully. I'll certainly keep you posted, so you can, you know, keep your listeners informed as well. And I'll definitely be making mention on Twitter once things start to really come to full circle.
Oh, perfect. Now, with the children's series now, so you don't know basically what it's going to be about yet?
Oh, no. The children's series, we've already written. We've written 7 of the books so far.
Really? Okay.
But, you know, we've been really, really just like pushing through on this, and it's been amazing. We've been having such a great time with it. I think what we've decided is that as much as we love the books, we think we can do a little bit more with them to make them even more wonderful for parents and for the kids. So we're going through the books again, through all seven. We're editing and, you know, combining some of the books. We should be making good progress on that too. I think we're in a really good place. I don't foresee that being a very long process, but
right.
It does take time because while we might be done with our portion, literary agents have to do their pitch to the publishing houses, and then there's the whole process that takes place there. We like where we are right now. In a nutshell, they're books that are based on two young characters, and uh-huh. I can't really give too much away. I'm trying to make this creative, and now I'm realizing I shouldn't have started that sentence because I don't have a way to end it. They're yeah. just life lessons, I suppose, is all I'll say. They're just really fun little lessons that these two children learn. It's a cute little series. And to be quite honest, I think parents and adults will actually enjoy them too. I think they're sweet books. They're really, really cute. And I've enjoyed writing, and I've enjoyed going back and rereading them and just smiling and reading them to my daughter. And she seems to enjoy them. As young as she is, she seems engaged by them. So that's definitely a positive sign, a good start.
Yes. Wow. You know, I definitely want to know more about the children's series, though, when it comes out, because the children's book, because, you know, we work with kids. So I definitely like to know more about that. You know, I know
yeah,
it'll take a
definitely.
Little while.
Yeah, definitely. Of course. And when they come out, for sure, you know, I'll have to, you know, send you a copy so that you can, you know, have a firsthand copy and take a look for yourself. But they're really fun. And I think you, as an adult, will enjoy it as well, because they just really are such a cute depiction of life as a child.
Yes. Oh, okay. Excellent. So that's amazing, though. I mean, this is so cool how you're doing that. And because you have a young daughter now,
exactly.
It's also, you know, it ties right in, right?
Exactly. It's exactly why. And I think that, you know, with my writing partner, her name is Carly, with her being someone that works with children all day and me being a mom and around my child all day, and we both have children in our lives. It's just a perfect partnership. And we both have a lot of creativity, and between the two of us, and it's just been a wonderful experience so far. So we're really excited for the books to officially launch once they get picked up and they're out there.
Now, I can't let you go without talking about health, because last time we spoke, your eating habits improved because you were pregnant.
Yeah, this is
now,
true.
Now, what about now? How's your eating habits today?
Okay. So I pretty much, you know, I've managed to maintain. I really will say that it's something that happens, I guess, in your body when you give up on bad food. You don't really
yes.
miss it, and you realize the benefit of enjoying good foods.
Yes.
So I will say that I have cut back a lot from, you know, being the point of being pregnant. I cut back completely on all of, like, the bad food that I used to enjoy and all the sweets and sugars and everything.
Right. Yes.
I'm not going to lie, I've gone back heavy on chocolate, but...
Oh, you are?
I did, but then I realized I actually feel like certain, like, I don't know, there's something that I feel in my body that doesn't feel right, and I couldn't uh-huh. figure out what it was, and I actually ended up going to, of all doctors, I ended up going to a cardiologist, because I thought I was having issues like my heart or something. There was like a weird flutter, there was just something. Do you
right.
know that it was the amount of chocolate that I was eating? It was affecting my heart, and it was causing me to have caffeine rushes
yes,
from the chocolate.
Palpitations.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, hence, wow. I have since cut back. I actually did a 30-day cleanse of no sweets, no chocolates, no nothing, no candy, no nothing, not even like a hot chocolate or anything. And I
nice.
Felt so much better. So
wow.
I have now slowly reintroduced. You know, like hot chocolate every once in a while. I do love hot chocolate. So before the,
yes.
you know, the cold weather completely disappears, I've had probably like maybe a total of 5 or 6 cups of hot chocolate over the past few months.
Good. Okay.
Easter is around the corner. So there are the little chocolate covered, you know, candies and everything. So I have been, you know, every day eating a few of those, but just a few, like a handful, and that's it. So they're my slight cheats during the day. But otherwise, I've been extremely healthy, making sure I have my protein. I've still been eating meats, which I didn't eat prior to being pregnant. I never eat meat, hated it, but I still enjoy it. I still maintain that healthy level of protein, make sure I get all my dark green vegetables. I eat a lot of like farro or quinoa. I'm pretty healthy. I'm really happy with myself. I'm a little bit proud to say that I've been very mindful of the fact that I need to be healthy. And if I want to be a mom that stays around for a while for my daughter, I need to especially be healthy. So it's no longer just a me thing and what I crave. It's a my daughter thing and what I want to be able to provide for her.
Oh, exactly. And you're making the right steps and making the right choices, Bree. Very impressive.
Thank you. And oh my gosh, breaking news, breaking news. I have joined the gym. I am an official member of Equinox.
Are you serious? Really?
I have joined the gym and I actually go. Yes.
That's good.
Yep.
Yeah, because last time we spoke, you didn't go to the gym.
No.
Exactly.
And prior to that, I was a member of New York Health and Racket Club, and I loved it. And I had a trainer there who was wonderful. And I did work out. But it really did, like, it requires me to have someone that I have to report to in order to work out. I'm not a person who will just go to the gym on my own and hang out and spend time in the gym. I need a system in place and someone there to help guide me, because I want to make sure I'm doing everything the right way and getting my best workout from the gym. Since I'm spending the time to go, I want to make sure I do it right. So, but you know, fast forward from New York Health and Racket, becoming pregnant, no gym, no membership, no nothing, just kind of existing and trying to eat healthy and being pregnant and loving life. And now I have my daughter and I have a mission to be healthy, not just for me, but for her, and to lead by example and join a gym and have my trainer and actually dedicate myself to a very healthy lifestyle.
Ah, that's the only way to be successful, Bree. You know, it's with your health and your wealth.
Exactly. And of course, health has to come first. Because if you're not healthy, then being wealthy means nothing. And if you're wealthy and, you know, and healthy, if you're wealthy and don't have your health, then, you know, everyone will say, you know, I wish if I could have one thing, it would be my health. And that's a constant, you know, I think that's just something like a constant preaching, you know, just word for me is like, even when I pray at night, I always pray for health and good health. And, you know, that's just constant. And I am a big fan of Joel Osteen on Sundays. I watch him every Sunday, single Sunday I watch him, and his sermons sometimes speak of health, and I just sit there and I feel so empowered listening to him, because I'm like, you know what? You're so right. Like, these are the things that you should pray for in life. Like, pray for this, pray for your health, pray for, you know, just pray for that, pray for, you know, for the goodness in life, you know, the things that matter most, not the things that are material and that you're going to leave behind when you leave this earth. Take with you the things that, you know, mean something and that you could share with others, like your health. And I've always said that if I ever won the lottery, like the big, big, big lottery, the first thing I would do before I spent a penny on anything, the first thing I would do would be to take my family to one of those, like those health clinics, not a clinic, but you know, like the Mayo Clinic or like one of those big health, and have a full workup from like tip of your head to the tip of your toe, full body workup of all of your health, to know every single thing that's right or wrong with you. And that way no one ever has to question, like, I don't know, I have this headache, I wonder what that is, or I have a stomach ache, I wonder what that is. This workup would tell you everything. You never have to question about your health again. And that would be how I'd first spend any money from winning the lottery. And then after that, of course, would be philanthropy. And then last but not least would be like, I'd maybe buy like a new pair of shoes, because I don't think I'd have much money left after all that.
Yes, exactly.
A plane ticket to go travel. I don't know. Something fun.
But you'd be a great spokesperson for health, Bree.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope so. I do hope to instill that in people and have that be something that people do focus on. And, you know, honestly, through the podcast that I will be participating on, I do have, you know, some mentions of health related topics, which are really important for people to, you know, to listen in on.
Nice. Again, I will be sure to tune in and then promote it on my end with, to my listeners and the Facebook groups that I'm in. I'm quite proud that you're doing this.
Thank you so much.
Very impressive. Now, how can my listeners stay in touch with you? I know you have a Twitter account. What's the Twitter name?
Twitter is at Bree Bicewood, and I will let everyone know if you write me, tweet me, whatever, the person that writes back is me. I am the only person who's writing and responding and tweeting out to you. So you have my 100% attention. If you have questions, if you have anything that you'd like to say, hopefully nothing negative. I get it. You know, I get those every once in a while too. At Bree Bicewood, and that's on both Twitter and on Instagram. They can follow my little photo journey on Instagram, which is really fun. It's a lot of pictures of my daughter and my life as a mom. And then Twitter is much of the same, but different. It's a lot more of me, my thoughts, my comments, along with some photos of my daughter. But both are fun, nice ways to follow me.
Wow. Okay. Great. Because you know I follow you.
I know. I follow you back.
So, Bree Bicewood, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you for coming back on my show.
It is absolutely my pleasure. I would love to come back anytime.
Oh, I'll hold you to that. And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.